And to remind, we've got some college age, career age young people with us that have been part of a young people's gathering in Grants Pass on Sunday, last two Sunday nights. I've had the privilege of teaching in that, and it had to be moved. I don't know if everybody's heard that yet or not. From Sunday night to Monday night this week, because the church where the facility we've been using is occupied tonight. So take that with you, but also for the family to be praying for our college and career young people. We've got a group that's meeting on Tuesday evenings, having a Bible study, Bible reading time. And if you're interested in that, see Grace. This other one is picking up speed again. It had stopped for a little while because the one that had led that moved to Tennessee, and it was too far to commute is what he felt. So anyway, they've been trying to start that up again, and it's prayer for the direction where it should go. And this is not to override this at all. It's two different things. Yeah. So anyway, it's a good thing. It's an exciting thing. And frankly, I am personally excited about it because of how this can impact not just that cluster of young people in either group, but they're out there in the world where some of us gray hairs don't go anymore. You know, they're out there and there's opportunities to love people with the love of God, to speak truth about the living God. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the heart desire for both of these groups that are gathering on their own. Father, we pray that it would pick up not just excitement momentum, but Holy Spirit momentum as you feed into them and grow them up. And then that maturity goes back into their individual churches and community. Father, this one that's a teacher at one of the high schools that's so restricted, yet you're not restricted. Others have similar frustrations. They want to touch people for you. And so, Lord God, I pray that in their workplace, and some of them are in college, that you would use them. I want to ask for direction, for clarity for tomorrow evening. I've got a planned teaching, but I want you to override that if it's your will. You know the needs that are there. Father, thank you that we can come together and learn together and then take that into our world. It's been happening for a long time now, Lord God, and we're living in the next chapter. Thank you. We commit this teaching time to you, this time in your scripture. Lord, I'll just open it up to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you have ever tried to think in between the lines. Paul wrote a lot of the scripture that we have in the New Testament. You know that. A lot of the letters that we call books are his. The whole book of Acts, there's a lot in there about what God did with the growth of the church, of the new church. First of all, a number of chapters about Peter, and then Paul, Saul of Tarsus, gets saved, and we know him as Paul. But have you ever just thought that maybe at times he got together with his buddy or several of them or traveling companions and just did some reminiscing? Wow, look what God did. That was not a fun time in that Philippian jail, but wow, look what God did, or wherever it was. Look what God did. We're going to be moving into the last chapter of Romans. And the last chapter of Romans, the first part of it, can be kind of boring. It can be kind of boring because we've got a list of about 26 people by name and others that aren't mentioned by name that Paul just says, give a greeting to so-and-so. La, 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 who's the hat? Huh. Who was that Dave Dillon guy? Oh, we're ringing a tune here. Huh, father of Paul Dillon, huh? As well as nine other kids and Rosemary. Who were they? wow, you mean Tom the gunsmith actually got saved and started going to church and has dedicated his life to the Lord ever since then? Tom and Nancy? Wow. All of a sudden, Dave Dillon becomes somebody. Yes. Right? Each one of these people were a somebody. Out of the 26 names, at least six are individual women, with a possibility of two others, but their name can be either masculine or feminine, so we don't really know. It's not crucial. Paul loved people, including women. He was not a woman hater. He's a real guy. And some of these are mentioned because God had used them, women as well as men, in fantastic ways. But a question comes to mind, how did Paul know so many people in Rome since he'd never been there? I'm so glad you asked, because this is going to be a fun little walk. I'd like to look at some interesting background about that and maybe some direction to answer that question, though it's going to be speculation. One of the key things that all of us have the opportunity to know and remember is in our times of struggles, even disasters, God is in it. And it's not like God is mean, so he put this on you. Life just happens. And in the midst of it, God is there to be with you. God is there to supply. So here's Paul. Wow, look at what God did last week. Oh man, look what we're up against now. What's God going to do? And so to trust him through that time. We're going to go back to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 11. Acts 11, 27 and 28. Now at that time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. That's just down the mountain at the Mediterranean Ocean from Jerusalem. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and began to indicate by the Spirit that there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. So not just right in that specific area. Worldwide famine. And this took place in the reign of Claudius, emperor of Rome, 41 AD to 54 AD. Skip ahead to chapter 18 of Acts. Beginning at verse 1. After these things, Paul left Athens, and if you want an exciting chapter to read, Acts 17 is amazing, what God did through Paul at Athens. He left Athens and went to Corinth. Corinth is down in the isthmus of the bottom side of Greece. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, probably pronounced wrong, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy, specifically Rome, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, who was Claudius? Emperor of Rome, from when to when? Okay, you're awake, that's good. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. So Priscilla and Aquila left Rome. He came to them. They were at Corinth. Somewhere along the way, Aquila and Priscilla came to know Jesus. Maybe before they left Rome, maybe after, maybe Paul got to lead them to the Lord. We don't know. Paul came to them. He found them. Verse 3, because he, Paul, was of the same trade. He stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks about Jesus. Drop down to verse 18. And Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren from Corinth, put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. These two are mentioned good number of times, either by Luke in Acts or by Paul later on. And oftentimes Priscilla's name leads, Priscilla and Aquila. And it's only guessed that she was maybe the spokesperson. He was there, and as a couple, they're introduced, Aquila and Priscilla. But after this, it's Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 18, in Cenchrea, he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. And they came to Ephesus, right across the Aegean Sea. And he left them there, Aquila and Priscilla. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them and saying, I will return to you again if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus, left them in Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he departed and passed successively through the Galatian region and Phrygia. That's modern-day Turkey. Strengthening all of the disciples. Now, a certain Jew named after a Greek god, Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, born in North Africa, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus. He was mighty in the scriptures. This man, Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, up through John the Baptist. He didn't know any more after that. He began to speak out boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside privately and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They added the rest of the story to Apollos. And when Apollos wanted to go across to Achaia, their brethren encouraged him, back over to where Corinth is, and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed in Jesus through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So Aquila and Priscilla, workers in the Lord. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Impacted Apollos, and as you're going to see, many, many others. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. At the end of this letter, Paul says, the churches of Asia, all of Turkey, greet you, Corinthian church. Aquila and Prisca, shortened version, greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their home in Ephesus. They had a house church in Ephesus. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. This is the last letter that Paul wrote. He was martyred just after this. His head was cut off in Rome. That's where he is writing from. 2 Timothy 4, 19, the very end. By the way, where is Timothy pastoring? Ephesus. He's writing to Timothy in Ephesus, his second letter to Timothy. Paul is in Rome. Timothy is in Ephesus. From Rome, Paul writes, greet Prisca and Aquila. They're back in Ephesus. Or they're still in Ephesus, and they have a church going on there. Greet them, and the household of Onesiphorus, and then some other people that are mentioned. A church was in their home. We go to Romans chapter 16, And for me, this starts adding flesh and blood to these people. These are real people. First of all, we have a Phoebe. Her name means light or brilliant or brilliance. At the end of his letter, he writes, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Why is he commending her? Because she is carrying his letter. He wrote to the church at Rome, possibly from Ephesus. Here is Phoebe. You don't know her yet. I commend you to her. A servant of the church which is in Centuria near Corinth. The word servant is the feminine version of deacon. And because the way this is laid out, a lot of the commentaries, the students believe that she was a deacon. There was a labeling because of what she was and what she did. I have no problem accepting that. That you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. And the word saint does not mean little idle things up around somebody's wall. In the Bible, it is never used of one that gets sainted at some point in their ministry career. In the Bible, it is always in reference to people that have become believers in Jesus. They are born from above. The Holy Spirit has come into them, and they are called holy ones, which is what the word saint means. Don't call me Saint Dan when you see me at the post office. It's awkward. But I am that. And so are you. I might return the favor if you do. Saints are the believers in Jesus. That's that simple. Anyway, he says about Phoebe, receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, the holy ones, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of, for she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. I hadn't searched out that Greek word helper. It's not the common word for helper here. It's a unique one. It's the only time it's used in this way. A helper. Pro-status. So status with pro in the middle of it or in the front of it. Status means somebody has gained this, like we use the word status. But the word pro in front of it, and it means, according to various study helps that I have, a female guardian, a protectoress, one caring for the affairs of others and aiding them in their resources. It's a rich word, and that's what this woman was. And I stopped and I started thinking, and I'm not going to name any names, but of certain women that we have with us currently or have had in the past that have been that. It's not a title. It's the way God has used them, and it describes their kind of ministry with people. I like Phoebe. I'd like to get to know this Phoebe. She would be one of the older women to take the younger women under their arm and walk with them, like Paul talks about to Timothy. But he says, of my help, for me too, I've benefited from Phoebe. Receive her in the Lord. And I'm sure that took her right up. She became somebody to them. And so that ministry went on. Verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila. Oh, the letter is written to the church in Rome. Now they have left Ephesus and their church, it was in their home, and they are in Rome as he writes to them, possibly from Ephesus, possibly from Corinth. When you get to the end of his life, he is in Rome in a dungeon, and they're back in Ephesus with their home church. They've gone to Ephesus twice and had a church there both times. I'm guessing that these guys had a church gathering in their home wherever they went. And Paul, boy, greet Prisca. Maybe a pet name for her. And Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ who for my life risked their own necks. To whom not only do I give thanks to God, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. These people have gotten around. These people have been in ministry, not only to Apollos, but have been around and assisting Paul in such a way that he could continue with all the churches, maybe telling the story of what God did through Prisca and Aquila. These people are taking on some character to me. Greet them there in Ephesus or in Rome. They risked their own necks. Verse 5, and greet the church that is in their house. See, there weren't such things really as buildings and properties like this for the church of the Lord Jesus to meet in. That came later. This is not the church. Please hear my teaching. A lot of you have. This building is a building, a very convenient, nice place for the church to meet. Amen. Churching means to gather together. They met where they could. The church in Priscilla and Aquila's home very often. So that verse 5, and greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaenetus. I don't know how to pronounce some of these. They will forgive me because they're already in heaven. My beloved. He's my beloved who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. In Paul's ministry there in the area of Turkey today, the first one he got to lead to Jesus is this Epaenetus who now lives in Rome. Greet Mary. In some of the manuscripts have the word Miriam, the Hebrew derivative. This is the only Jewish name in the whole list of 26. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Her reputation's gone ahead of her. Greet Andronicus and Junius. Junius might be his wife, and it might be a male, his friend, because it can go either masculine or feminine. My kinsmen, fellow Hebrews with Greek names, like Apollos the Jew with a Greek name. My fellow prisoners, they've been in prison with him. He got to know them pretty intimately, who are outstanding among the apostles. The word outstanding, cool Greek behind that. They've received the mark. They have a mark on them of apostle. Now, there's the 12 apostles, and then there are lesser apostles, which is a simple term. They're ones sent with a task. Some are sent by churches, according to Galatians 6:1. He says, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, not of. We use the term missionary, and that would be very, very simple. This one is outstanding among the apostles, marked. And also, we're in Christ before me. They knew Jesus before Paul. That's always fun to find somebody that knew the Lord before you. Greet Apuleius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. These are all back in Rome. Paul is away from Rome. He knows these people. How did that happen? Well, I speculate that as the Jews were kicked out of Rome, they went throughout the Roman Empire. Makes sense. They had to go somewhere. Many of them heard the gospel as they went. So the tough stuff, the disastrous sending away from home and losing job, resulted in some of these coming to know the Lord. That's our God. Look what God can do in the midst of awful stuff. Some of them were Jewish that went, all of them were Jewish, they had to leave. But I imagine some were Romans that didn't have to leave, but in their common culture traveled throughout Rome. And as they traveled doing business, Adrian, you've gone to China doing business. You've lived in China as a family doing business. So they also went throughout the Roman Empire doing business, and guess what? Some of them heard the gospel of Jesus and took it back. Huh, we know some girl named Cherry, some young man named Will from China that came here to go to school and needed a home to live in. These became house parents to both of these, and both of them received Jesus as their Savior. Guess what they took back to China with them? That's going on. Paul is getting around not only Asia, but all down through Greece, up in Macedonia, all around Judea. He meets people. This was a Roman Empire. How many of them did Paul meet personally, hear their story, maybe lead them to Jesus, and they go back to Rome? Now they're in the church in Rome. And he says, I long to come to you. The people that come to mind, greet them. These are they. Wow. Verse 10 or 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, the approved. And it's a word that means tested and proven. What he's been through, we don't know. Most of these are not mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, so we can't research that out. Greet Apelles, the approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Aristobulus is possibly the Aristobulus who was grandson of Herod the Great. Pretty cool. When Paul was in prison in Philippi, he said, I'm rejoicing, not that I'm in prison, but that the whole Praetorian Guard has heard the gospel about Jesus. The whole palace guard has heard the story. Wow. I wonder if this guy was one of those. Greet Herodian, of the name Herod, would mean one of his kin, most likely, of the house of Herod, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, probably sisters, maybe twin sisters, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Go back to Mark chapter 15 for a moment. Again, fun just trying to put scripture together. Mark 15, we have Jesus going up to the cross. He's been beaten. He's been condemned to death. He is carrying his own cross. In Mark 15, verse 21, they pressed into service a passerby coming from the country. Simon of Cyrene had to carry Jesus' cross for him. And then parenthetically, the father of Alexander and Rufus to bear the cross. It's impossible for us to prove that the Rufus in Romans 16 is the same Rufus, but I like to think he is. His daddy carried the cross of Jesus. Wow. At least the same name. But what he says about him back in Romans 16, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord. Also his mother and mine. She has been that which Rebecca, my wife, has been to you, and you call her mom. She's had that kind of a relationship with Paul. Wow. And greet his mom for me. Same Rufus? I don't know. 14. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brethren with them. This can be another group of leadership from a house church. The brethren that are with them. 15. Greet Philologos. Philo would probably come from the word phileo, love. And logos from the word logos. Number of us think that might be a lover of God. And Julia, maybe his wife. But Julia can also be masculine, so we don't know for certain. Nerus, his sister, and Olympus, women that he's met along the way, and a man that he's met, and all the saints who are with them. Oh, maybe another house church in Rome. Boy, a lot is going on. In the midst of the chaos, look what God has done. That gives me faith and hope in the midst of my chaos. God, what are you doing? Instead of going to that place of thinking, oh God, you're doing this to me, that's pretty mean of you. This is life. God, what are you going to do through this? Father, and in some cases, Abba. Abba, Father, Daddy. What are you going to do? I'm going to deal with verse 16 in just a moment. I'm going to open this up for entertaining discussion. What kind of interaction or questions do you have at this point? Anybody? David.
It's kind of interesting to note that in the archaeological record, just digging here and there around the Middle East, over 50 people mentioned in the New Testament have been positively identified as, yes, that was the person, and here he is. And the same is true in the Old Testament. They've been able to positively identify that that person's name was exactly where the Bible said he was, and he was what he was doing.
Archaeologists have used the Bible for a roadmap. Thank you, David. That is a precious bit of information right there. Anybody else? Then greet one another with a holy kiss. Their formal greeting was the kiss. Michael, thank you for the great job you did talking about lifting up holy hands last hour in Sunday school. We didn't make a plan of this. Might be a God dovetail. Greet one another with a holy kiss, he tells them. For me, I've got to ask, what does he mean? For them, what did they read with that terminology? You know this, when I was in Eastern Europe, the common greeting was a man kissing a man on the cheek, a woman kissing a woman on the cheek. And if you're really special, it gets to be both cheeks. It was awkward for me because that is not my culture. It was precious to me. I never did get quite used to it. But hey, when in Rome, you know, that was the Christians greeting one another in that way.
I think in today's culture, what men need to learn when they greet someone they don't know is greet them in such a way that you know whether you're to worship with them or to preach to them.
Okay. It is to be understood, Michael, you pointed out in a great way, these hands can do some really corrupt things. I appreciated all that you did leading up to that. And then I come and say, oh God, I'm lifting up praises to you. When 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, I want men to lift up holy hands praying. Well, are they? Greet one another with a holy kiss. It's common to greet one another in their culture with a kiss. For us, let's call it a handshake. Is it while I'm speaking vile things about you somewhere else that I come up and give you a smile and a handshake and how's it going, friend? Such lies. Such hypocrisy. And I really believe that is what he is speaking against. It's getting to the root of the heart-to-heart stuff. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Since we don't greet each other in that way, but we do have a greeting. My understanding is a simple handshake came from a background of saying, I have no weapon in my hand. See? Huh. I got no knife hidden away. See? I had a professor in college say, I don't have a knife in my hand. That's the first thing that keyed me in. Oh, okay. But is there something in my hand that is poisonous? It's not right. I need to take care of that so that I can truly give the greeting that's a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. That is an interconnecting of all people in the inhabited earth who are believers in Jesus. You belong, your family. They are giving you a greeting through me. And Paul is, I think, inviting these Roman Christians to look a little deeper in that family of God, even with this. The up close, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches at a distance send you a greeting, which is essentially a holy kiss. And I think that this is very apropos for us in today's church, 2024. The reminder, recently my wife has had some conversations with people that have talked about rumors in our rumor-mongering town. But it's not unique to us in Cave Junction. Small towns do that. Small cliques in large towns do that. But that which is assassinating character is not giving the person the opportunity to explain themselves. That kind of destructive nature shouldn't be part of who we are, though it's part of the culture we live in. And that's where this slips in. Greet one another with a holy kiss, or a holy hug, or a holy handshake, or a holy whatever you do. So the foulness is left out of the picture. This is my brother. This is my sister. Now, have you got all things worked out with them and the differences? Not necessarily. But you belong to each other. Go ahead, John.
The gentleman that owns Bigfoot Print and Coffee in town is a very dear friend of mine. He is a brother in the Lord, not as mature in the Lord, maybe as some, but he loves God and believes in God. He's come under attack for his position of faith in God, in that a particular artist has painted a fabulous mural on his wall with a contract that gives him the right to do what that mural, whatever he chooses to do. But this artist has chosen to uplift her God by displaying an upside-down cross and the name Murderface. He took issue with that and decided that that needed to be changed, and it has developed into an outlandish uproar within the community. He needs encouragement. B, really needs encouragement.
Okay.
So if anybody does business with Rick, he needs to know that he is supported. I have encouraged, he's talked about even just spending the money to just completely eradicate the mural. I said, no, don't do it. The mural's beautiful. I said, leave the mural there.
Okay.
I said, leave it there. But he would really be encouraged. Because
okay.
All of the bombardment has been from Satan's side. Very few people who really love the Lord have come to his, you know, aid of encouraging him. So I would encourage the family. Goodbye.
Maybe.
To
yeah, maybe others have not heard anything about this, like me. It hasn't reached me in the community.
Facebook user, I don't see it. You can't see it because it supposedly is. I'm not a Facebook user, but it's all over Facebook.
Okay.
So there's a case where we could, you know, greet somebody with a good smile.
Amen.
And, you know,
yeah. Encourage him in the Lord.
We're part of each other.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, this business about a greeting, I share your experience when I came to Greece and men there kissed me on the cheek. And since I came from a Latin culture prior, it wasn't so surprising to me. But the problem is that when we shake somebody's hand, we maintain our cultural distance, this private sphere, because it's far away from us. When you get close, the danger is that we recoil, that we drop back instinctively because we're not ready for that. That sends a powerful message, doesn't it? It says, yeah, you want to be our brother in Christ, but don't get too close to me, please. I don't like that. And that's a real hazard.
Okay.
I come from Sacramento, California, born and raised. My wife, she comes from New York, born and raised. And it's very common for people to just handshake and, you know, be done with it. We moved out here, and I met some awesome people. I call them friends. And when I meet them, they greet me with a hug. Mm-hmm. Always. In this valley.
Yeah.
It has been from day one.
Yes.
At first, it was like, whoa, what the heck? But now I really enjoy that about this house.
Good.
And thank you all for that.
We're going to close. Thank you. Thank you, Justin. We're going to close with a song that's a song of commitment that we haven't done here for quite a long time. Oh, Millie had something?
I
sorry.
I heard you mention your friend in India, CB. Do you have any news about him and his wife?
No, they are still in search of a home. I'm forgetting the name of the town near Oxford where they're living currently. Several homes have come kind of available before one reason or another couldn't be the one where they...
So they are in...
They've been in England for a while.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, the song that we've got is—it's a committing song. If you sing it to mean it.